Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1857. The topic is Q&A, and the title is Training Structure to Blend All Goals. One of the business clients I'm working with now is a personal trainer. He's growing a studio, and he's actually been doing really well. We've been talking about ways to promote more people coming, different services he can use to get more diversity to his income. And then what he's struggling with now is he's physically fit. He was a college athlete. He looks pretty good, relatively strong. In his words, he goes, "I'm okay at everything." But he would like to be a little better than okay at everything. So that way he could just draw in more clients. He wants to kind of look the way that the clients report wanting to look. Now, this means he wants to stay open to strongman clients, bodybuilding clients, strength-based clients, fat loss clients, general just aesthetic. Somebody wants to kind of look a little better. As he said, I want to look like the neighborhood alpha dad. So I thought it was funny. But he's going to be training 4 days a week. He wants to have one work day a week where he can just deal with extra business crap. And then he's making sure that he gets time with his family. And they had different events for their kids. So it ended up being where he wants to work out on Monday, Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday. He wants to have Wednesdays and Thursdays open because a lot of the kids' activities are Wednesdays or Thursdays. So he likes to have the flexibility there. He likes to have flexibility during the week because that's when a lot of business crap needs to happen and businesses are closed on Saturday and Sunday mostly. So he's like, well, if I take Saturday and Sunday off, but I have to do some work things, a lot of the companies and organizations I have to work with are closed on the weekends. So he wants to have more freedom during the weekday. So that's currently our routine, is Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday. But he has a choice for Friday to be Thursday or Friday, and then Saturday to be Friday or Saturday. So he can kind of bump it around and move it around a little bit. But I wanted to share what we're doing with his programming because I thought it would just be fun. What he's working on is he wants to have good cardiovascular fitness. His goal is to be able to run 2 miles and not die. Like, feel pretty good. Like, if somebody, a client, wants to run a 5K, 10K, they want to run a half marathon or a marathon, he wants to say, oh yeah, I run 2 miles at this pace, and the person will go, oh, that's pretty good. So he wants to be able to run 2 miles well. He also wants to have explosiveness and agility. He really liked the explosive work he did in college, like different types of jumps and bounds and things, and he wants to keep that. And he also wants to have that so when he teaches some of his high school clients, he said, I want to look the part. I want to be able to do the drills with them and show them that I understand it and I can move. So he wants that explosiveness, the agility. He wants a good level of strength. He weighs around 190 pounds. He wants to squat and deadlift 500 pounds and bench 315. So that's going to be roughly 2.5 times body weight in squat and deadlift strength, and 2 times body weight, 1.5 times body weight in bench press. So those goals in his mind is, if somebody says, oh, could you teach me to be stronger in squats? And he's like, yeah, I squat 500 pounds, that most people will look at him and go, yeah, that's great. So it's a good enough number that people would understand that he knows how to be strong in squat. If he can deadlift 500 pounds, same thing. If he can bench 315, same thing. Somebody says, how much you bench? You're a trainer. Could you get me strong? And he's like, yeah, I bench 315. They'd be like, oh, okay, that's pretty good. So those are his, as he says, like above normal numbers. He goes, I want to be a little bit above normal on everything. And then we're looking at muscle size and balance so he looks good in his videos. So his overall goal is just to be great at everything. His is to not be great at everything, but to be good enough at everything. I like these goals because they're very fun. They're fun to program for because there's a lot of elements taking place. Now, typically, I also have this stuff plus the person has an old knee injury or a back injury or a shoulder problem. He actually doesn't have any injuries, which is amazing coming out of college sports. He said he feels great. But typically I always do this. I typically do it with working around some kind of injuries as well. So it makes it more fun programming-wise. Not fun for the person, but makes it more interesting to do the programming if there's other concerns like that. Now, our basic template is we're going to be doing some type of movement preparation at the beginning of every workout. Then we're going to do our bodyweight stuff, then our heaviest kind of strength-based exercise, and then our muscle work, where we try to grow and shape the muscles. That is, in general, the most common way that I would set this up. I do it different for every individual I work with. I don't really have a specific template that everybody has to use. I just pick whatever works best for that person, and that's what we do. But for people who want to achieve all goals, if you're looking at cardio plus relative strength, like bodyweight strength, explosiveness, agility, be able to do pull-ups, push-ups, you know, things like that, then you also want to have absolute strength, which is lifting very heavy objects, like squat, bench, deadlift, overhead press, things like that, and then have muscle size. There's a lot of goals in there. And for all those goals, we probably are going to want to do some kind of movement prep when we come in the gym. For our movement prep, we do have podcast 1112, which talks about how I like to structure warm-ups. It's called The Best Warm-Up Routine. It's podcast 1112. But our movement prep, we're going to focus on hip mobility. So we're going to be making sure the hips can move in the proper ranges of motion and the proper positions for the lifts that day. We're going to do core work, and then we're going to work on shoulder mobility. Now, all of these issues, sometimes they just have limited range of motion due to muscles being tight. Sometimes muscles are imbalanced in their strengths around a certain joint, and that can cause the muscles to be tight or the movement to be awkward. So we want to work on strengthening the muscles around the joints of the hip and the shoulder all in balance. And then that typically makes great mobility. And then for the core, it depends on what we're doing that day. If we're doing squat or deadlift, we're going to probably work on core bracing. If we're doing maybe a bench press, we can actually work on extension contraction of the core if we want to create deeper grooves in the abdominal muscles. So it kind of depends on what the aesthetics of that we want for the abs as well, balanced with what type of other work we're doing, such as strength work, where you want to work on bracing. So the movement prep, that's typically what we're going to start with. Now, in his structure, again, I said we're doing workouts on Monday, Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday. If you were doing Monday, Tuesday, you know, Thursday, Friday, it'd be the same thing, kind of setting this up. But we do a squat focus on Monday, bench focus on Tuesday, deadlift focus on Friday, and then Saturday is an overhead press focus, because it really helps with overall aesthetic development to have the shoulders well developed, and it improves shoulder mobility to be able to press overhead with proper positioning. So that's going to prevent the bench press from over tightening or over limiting his shoulder range of motion, so that way he can always have good mobility and avoid some shoulder injuries. So if you notice, we're kind of alternating upper and lower. So it's a lower workout, a lower body workout, upper body workout, lower body workout, upper body workout. I like that structure. When we're doing four times a week, if we were doing three times a week, I probably would do a little bit of a difference. There's some common ways you could do that. Is you might do legs push pull. So we might do squat on the leg day, bench press on the push day, and then the pull day we might throw in some deadlifts. Since deadlifts don't have an eccentric, and you can definitely train them where you emphasize an eccentric, or you can actually take away the eccentric, I would probably take away the eccentric to make sure we don't overload the lower body if it's too close to the upcoming squat workout. But if they're structuring it, say, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Friday was a deadlift day, you could still do a lot of eccentric loads, and you could also throw in some different upper body movements, you know, for upper back, and even some overhead work for stability and bracing. So it's kind of like you would do a lower body day and upper body day, then like a full body day where you're emphasizing kind of deadlifts and overhead work. But for this structure, 4 days a week, I would alternate upper and lower body. So for the warm-up and movement prep, I usually emphasize whatever the person's going to work on that day. we pick elements that are common issues towards that lift. So for example, our squat day in the hips, we're going to make sure that our adductors are not tight. We're going to work on opening and strengthening the adductors. We're also going to work on stretching the glutes. So you want some type of mobility work in the lower body around the hips that's going to do that. So open and strengthen the adductors, open and strengthen the glutes. For the shoulders, we're going to work on external rotation. We want them to be able to have their hands back on the barbell if they're doing a back squat without a lot of stress on the shoulders, the elbows. And then for core, we're going to do core bracing. So that would typically be the type of movement prep that I would do for squats, is to open and strengthen the adductors and glutes, open up range of motion in the external rotation of the shoulders, and then do core bracing. Whereas for bench press, I'm going to focus on opening the hip flexors, because if your hip flexors are tight, that can cause lower back pain when you bench press. So you want to open up the hip flexors. We want to open up if there's any tight pecs, the pec major or pec minor. And then for core, if he wants to develop deeper abdominal crevices, we're going to do extension flexion of the abdominal muscles on that day to work on creating growth within the abdominal muscles. For deadlift, it's really going to be opening up the glutes. He does conventional stance. If you do sumo, you want to throw in the adductors as well. We're also going to work on lat stretch. We want to make sure the lats are open so we can contract them and hold them in position well to support the deadlift. And then for core, it's going to be core bracing, because deadlift definitely requires core bracing. For overhead work, again, we're probably going to come back and work on the hip flexors for the lower body. We might even open up the quadriceps, because it's a good way to kind of catch that at the end of the week. The quadriceps and hip flexors are probably still tight, so we're going to open those up as well. We're actually going to do more lat stretching, because after deadlifts, the lats can kind of tighten down from damage. So we're going to do more lat work. And then for core, again, we could do core bracing, or we could do extension flexion to work on the growth of the abdominal muscles. So that's how I would set up the movement prep for the week. Then the body weight stuff. If we're looking at running and explosive works and agility, on the lower body days, we're going to do short sprint efforts and explosive jumping. This is going to be short stuff that just works on explosive, really revs up the CNS, gets them in a good nervous system state for strength lifting. So after the body weight stuff, they're going to go to their squat or their deadlift. So squats, we'll tend to do more like short sprints and bounds. And for deadlifts, I like to do a lot of like vertical jumps and deficit jumps, box jumps, things like that. But lower body days is short explosive efforts. Then the upper body days, we might throw in the longer runs. We might do that at the end of the workout. We might do that separated from the workout. Maybe they'll do a long run in the morning and then weight train in the afternoon, or vice versa. But they're going to be doing their longer runs on the upper body days. The strength lifts, they are what they are. You know, if it's squat day, we're going to squat, bench, bench, deadlift, overhead press. We're just going to take our time with those, take longer breaks, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes if we need. We want to focus on technique. We don't want to feel rushed. We don't want to be limited by cardiovascular recovery between the sets. We really want to take our time in that part of the workout and just focus on strength. And then the muscle work, in order to save time, because the strength lifts can take a while, to save time, we do a lot of circuits. The idea with circuits is we're also going to do time under tension ranges of 20 to 40 seconds, leaning more so into the 30 to 40 second range. What we're wanting to work on when we go for muscle damage and shaping is to work on time under tension stress loads, which is called metabolic stress, rather than sheer weight damage. So I don't want him to lift the heaviest thing he could possibly lift for like 10 seconds. That's going to cause a lot of connective tissue stress, a lot of muscle damage. So with so many goals being addressed in the program, his recovery capacity per element, like cardio, explosiveness, strength, muscle growth, per element, his recovery capacity is going to be very limited because we're doing so many things. So we want to keep the recovery demand from the muscle damage portion of the workout as low as possible, but still obviously effective. So that means we're going to be going for metabolic damage. We're going to be doing sets of efforts around 20 to 40 seconds of time under tension, and I tend to push people more towards that 30 to 40 seconds, unless they're weaker if they're not as strong, I do keep them on the lower end of the time under tension range of like 20 to 30 seconds. So I would pick the rep range per movement that was appropriate to keep them within that time under tension range. Now for the circuits, kind of depends on each individual. Some of my individuals will do non-competitive circuits, so they might do a chest press and a back row, because neither one takes away from the other one. The trouble with that, though, is they're going to use maximal weight loads then, whereas if we do competing circuits, so maybe a chest fly into a chest press, the chest fly is going to limit how much weight they can do in the chest press, and that saves wear and tear on connective tissue. So it depends on how well the person eats, depends on their strength levels. Weaker clients, I tend to do non-competitive circuits. Stronger clients, I like to do competing circuits to keep that recovery demand lower. The other component is to make sure you check the volume. Is the muscle damage work that we create in the strength lifts should be counted towards the muscle development work that we would be doing in this section of the workout. Typically, you'll hear people recommend that you should do 10 to 20 working sets per muscle group per week. So if I want my chest to grow, I would do 10 to 20 sets of effort, like max effort work on my chest or near maximal effort work. What sometimes people don't do when they're trying to blend strength and muscle growth is they don't count the strength towards that damaging sets. So if we do, you know, 4 or 5 really damaging sets of bench press, that's going to be 4 to 5 working sets that have already been done for the chest and triceps. So we want to make sure that we count the strength work towards the volume in the muscle work. And then the last component is we want to make sure we prioritize our muscle growth per individual. I do this on an individual basis. That's one of the ways like that I think the way I do things stands out and does very well, is I don't use pre-templated structures. You're not going to have an app that everybody gets the exact same workout. Everything is personalized 100% to your needs. So for this client, for based on the way he is built, his chest is going to be our number one priority. Try to get that chest a bit bigger. He already has very wide shoulders. He has a very wide structure. So his shoulders are good. We just got to get that chest to kind of puff out and stick out. So we're focusing on chest, lower traps, triceps, glutes, and calves. Those are his main areas. So on the upper body days, we make sure we do muscle work focused on chest, lower traps, and triceps. On his lower body days, we do a lot of glute work and a lot of calf work. His quadriceps and hamstrings are good. He has good thighs. Like I said, his shoulders are fine. Biceps are good enough. So we really want to bring up these other lagging areas. And that's going to create that aesthetic balance that we want. And then in order to not overgrow his midsection, which is one of his concerns, a lot of our muscle work is in very supported positions or even using machines. So, for example, if we already do squats and deadlifts to work on his lower traps, I'm not going to have him do like heavy-ass T-bar rows because that's going to help. I mean, that's going to cause more thickness to his midsection. Instead, we might do a chest-supported row with an angled underhand grip. And that decreases the abdominal stimulation, so we don't have to worry about thickening his core, but we still get the lower traps. So we would pick exercises and movements that we know will not continue the stimulus for abdominal thickness or growth. We want to target the actual muscles we want to grow. That hopefully was interesting. I do not know if that was too fast or too in detail, or if I should give, you know, more specifics. I don't know. But I thought that would be fun if anybody was interested in how you would structure programming based on all the goals. If you wanted good cardio, good explosiveness, agility, relative strength, absolute strength, muscle size, muscle shaping, muscle balance. If you want all of that, it can absolutely be done. That's what I do all the time for people. And I just wanted to run through one of the ways in which we would structure that, and I thought this client was a good example. Now for nutrition, what we're looking to do is just control his calorie ranges, make sure he's within a 200 calorie range per day. His training days, he eats a lot of calories. Right now we're pushing around 3,000 to 3,200. On non-training days, we bring it down to 2,400 to 2,600. And we know in the non-training days, we're probably a little like in a deficit, but he likes that. So that way on the training days, he can get in a little bit of a surplus and he feels more energetic. He feels like there's more motivation to work out because he's eating all this extra carbs and food and he's just fired up and he's ready to go. So he really enjoys that swing of calorie balance. But that's what we're doing with calories. And then how we know when to adjust those, we're just watching his body weight, how he looks in his photos. We take the body weight Mondays and Thursdays. Photos we do every 4 weeks. The fit of his clothes. So he has a certain pair of shorts. He has a certain shirt. Golly, there you go. And a pair of shorts that he wears. And he'll just tell me how that's feeling every 4 weeks. And then we make sure we're progressing in our workout. We make sure there's a good sense of recovery between the workouts. He's not super sore. He doesn't have, like, feel lethargic and no energy. So those are the elements we look at when we're considering or if we're in the right calorie range or not. And then protein, he's doing a gram to 1.2 grams per pound of body weight. So right now, he's actually relatively lean at 190. So I have him between 190 and 220 for grams of protein every day. I don't want him to overeat his protein because then he's going to undereat his energy nutrients and he's not going to have great energy for his workouts. So the protein is 190 to 220 grams. So that's around 1 gram to 1.2 grams per pound of body weight. And then how we know if we're in the right protein is body composition. If he's looking soft and watery, even though our calories are correct, we might not be eating enough protein. And then his sense of recovery. If he's feeling kind of sore between his workouts, he has good energy, but he's really kind of sore, then we know we might be under eating protein. For sugars, he can have whatever sugar he wants leading into the time of training. We just keep it really low outside of training. And that also is the timing component of our foods, is we peak our calories around the training times pre, during, and post, and then we valley the calories away from training. So that's what we're doing. I thought that would be fun to share. If you're interested in this kind of stuff, if you want to set anything up, we're offering free 15-minute consultations right now. You can sign up on the website, www.brittleirongym.com. The 101 services page has a link for it, or you just shoot me an email at brittleirongym@gmail.com. It would be like this. Client, you just tell me what your goals are, tell me what your struggles are, and then we make a program and we freaking crush it. So if you want to do that, you can sign up for that. I'd be happy to hear from you, and I'd be honored to help. Okay, if you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brittle Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.